The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
I wonder if you've ever been in a fight that you didn't really want to be in. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in, you know, that sort of situation or a type of battle that, you know, you didn't really plan on being in it, but all of a sudden you found yourself unable to say no, and, you know, you wound up right in the middle of it all. You know, when I was in school, I actually found myself right in the middle of a physical fight that I didn't plan on being in. I didn't really want to be there, but at the same time, I couldn't just, you know, run away from it. Think back to your school days. I don't know if you've ever seen this, like in person or maybe on a movie or something, but you know those stereotypical scenes where, you know, there's two people in the centre, right? And they're having a fight and there's like all these students, there's a whole crowd around them, and what are they chanting? Fight, 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 fight. You can picture the scene, you know what I'm talking about? Well, when I was in school, I found myself in the middle of one of those situations. No kidding, no joke. One day, I was in the middle of this crowd urging me and this other guy to, you know, trade blows. Now, I didn't go looking for this fight at all. In fact, I barely remember the details that sort of led up to it, to be honest. I just remember one time, me, little Matty, was minding his own business, and this other kid named Josh. Yeah, are there any Joshes here? No, that's a good thing. No. But he just had some problem with me, and I don't remember what sparked it, but all of a sudden, you know, he started trying to push me around and started to try and fight, and I was just sort of defending myself, and things just escalated really quickly. I can still picture the scene where in our school, you know, there was the courtyard where most people hung out, and there was the oval where most people hung out, like those two sections, and we were like right in the middle of both of these sections. And so as he started to try and fight me, everyone else just started getting around and started chanting, and just people from the oval and the courtyard came running. And before you know it, in my mind, I just remember like the whole school was around us chanting, urging us on to fight. They were bloodthirsty kids. I mean, seriously. That's why you don't go to school in New South Wales. You know, the ending of the story is not as cool as I could have sort of drummed it up to be. You know, I'd love to tell you that I pulled out some cool jiu-jitsu move and took Josh down. But as you can imagine, you've got like all of the school chanting fight. Pretty soon the teachers came running and they broke it up, and that was the end. Yeah, and you know, that's right, Lorraine, good. And you know, I remember, I'm pretty sure it didn't take long for Josh and I to become good friends again. But, you know, I've witnessed a few fights, all of them, of course, in New South Wales. I don't know, it's like the Paul Gallen blood or something, I just want to fight. But I remember one time as well at Macca's, and there was this guy picking on, you know, Macca's staff, and there was this firefighter standing behind him, and you know, you could tell he didn't want to get involved, but he couldn't just say no either. And he had to say something, and he said something to this guy, and before you know it, this firefighter found himself in a fist fight as well. Now, I don't know if you've been in a situation where originally you didn't want to get into this fight, you didn't want to get into the situation, into the battle, you didn't want to be involved, but because of the situation, because of the circumstances, even though you didn't really want to get involved, you couldn't just say no either. You know, you couldn't just sit back and do nothing. You couldn't just let a problem be a problem. You couldn't just let this wrong continue to be a wrong. You had to step in. You had to do something about it. And I don't know, maybe you had that famous Einstein quote going through your head, you know, evil prospers because good men do nothing. Well, tonight, we're going to be looking at a very famous fight, a very famous battle in the Bible, perhaps the most famous fight in all of human history. You know, people talk about famous fights like the Rumble in the Jungle with Ali and George Foreman, or the Thriller in Manila with Ali and I think it was Joe Frazier. But tonight, the fight we're looking at is got to be the most famous fight to ever exist, I've got to say. Of course, what's the battle that you think we're going to be looking at? David and Goliath, that's right. In the night series, we're unpacking David's life, and there's so much to learn from David, because he had some mighty great things about him. He was a man after God's own heart. God did amazing things through him, and he also stuffed up in some big ways too. And so we can learn from both the good things and the bad things from David's life. And I really believe God's going to show us a lot as we unpack and learn from David's life. But, you know, it's a famous fight. I've been watching a bit of the Australian Open. And by the way, I've got the final recorded. So it's going, like, I think right now as I'm preaching. So don't tell me, don't look up the scores and don't give me any spoilers. I'm going home after this and watching Nadal and Federer. But, you know, I've heard that phrase, not Nadal and Federer, Djoko, that's right. Djoko and Nadal. But I've heard them use that phrase, and I'm sure you've heard it a lot of time, you know, this is going to be a real David and Goliath matchup. It's even in secular world, we know this story. It's such a famous story, and you can find the story, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I don't have a PowerPoint tonight. It's found in 1 Samuel 17, but because it's quite, you know, a long story just to read through, and because it's quite a well-known story, I believe, I'm just going to sort of give a bit of an overview, retell the story afresh, paraphrase some of the stuff, and just zoom in on some key verses that I really felt God say that he wanted to share with people tonight, that's going to speak to them and where they're at. Well, the setting is that we've got the Israelites, right? The Israelites are fighting against the Philistines. It's the Israel army versus the Philistine army. Now, the Israelite army, the Israelites, they represent God's people, right? They're the good guys. And you've got the Philistines, they're the bad guys. And we read throughout the Bible, time and time again, throughout the Old Testament, these guys are doing battle. As God's army is, you know, representing God, it's sort of like light versus darkness. They just keep coming up against each other, keep battling against the enemy. Now, I want you to just try and picture the setting that was taking place. So you have this big valley, right? Right up in the middle. And the Bible says at the start, it says that this was the valley of Elah. And just picture this valley right up the middle. And on either side, you had the hillside. Okay, so on one hillside, you've got the Philistine army. And on this side, you've got the Israelites. And it's like they can sort of eyeball each other across the hill, across the valley. And they're getting ready to do battle. They're sort of putting their armor on. They're getting ready. And what would happen is, as the two armies would stand there facing each other, ready to fight, Goliath would come out and he would start to taunt and mock the armies of Israel. Now, you know about Goliath. You know about Goliath. Goliath was a giant. The Bible says he was like 9.5 feet tall. Elsewhere it says like the armor he was wearing was like 60 kilograms or something like that. He was a champion man. He'd killed many people before. And the Bible says elsewhere that his relatives, he was a giant, and he wasn't the only giant. There was a lot of giants in the Bible. And we read elsewhere that some of his relatives had like 6 fingers on each hand. Like, isn't that crazy? Now, I don't know if Goliath did, but can you imagine this man mountain coming out, 9.5 feet tall, and someone, you know, can see him, and they're like, dude, that guy's got 6 fingers on each hand. Like, this guy would have been scary. And he stands out, right, and he starts to taunt and to mock the army of Israel. And this is what Goliath said. And I wonder if, is there anyone brave enough that can come out here and read to us or say what Goliath said? Volunteer. Otherwise you get voluntold. Come on, who's brave enough? Don't make me choose someone. Nigel. You know, I don't know what. In my mind, I was like, if no one gets out, I'm going to pick Nigel. So I just had it. I've got it here for you, unless you've got... Do you want a microphone or you can just be loud? I want you to put on your best Goliath voice, Nigel. Like, really Goliath voice.
Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. And then the Philistine said, This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.
That's good. Give Nigel a round of applause. And check his hands. He might have six fingers on each one there. That sounded really good, Nigel. And verse 11, it says, after Goliath said this, and he said other stuff too, but it said that on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And apparently the language, it's saying that they literally shook with fear. I don't know if you could just see like the whole hillside and they're wearing their armor. It just starts jingling with like this fear and their knees just start trembling. And that's what would take place. And so Goliath would say, you know, pick your best fighter, come and fight me. He'd taunt and he'd mock Israel. And more than that, he was mocking Israel's God. Because you know the context, you know, these sorts of they believe that, you know, when we do this sort of fighting, it's not just humans fighting, it's God versus God. God would determine the battle. And he was saying, look at me, look how strong I am. I've been produced by someone like our God. Your God is nothing. Your God's puny. Your God's weak. He doesn't stand a chance. We're going to take you out. Your God is nothing. And he was mocking and taunting the God of Israel. And the Bible says that, you know, this went on for 40 days. 40 days. And I find that sort of hard to believe. Like, can you imagine that actually happening day in, day out? You know, the army of Israel, they were there to fight. They knew they were called to take the promised land, to defeat the Philistines. And I just can't imagine, you know, each day they would get up, they'd put on their armor, they take up their weapons. I don't know if you've ever seen movies where, you know, like the king comes in front of the soldiers and he does like this motivational speech. Well, I don't know if King Saul on day one like rallied the troops and got them going. But after Goliath spoke, Saul's like terrified. And I don't know, maybe on day two he tried to do it again. And he's like, come on, let's, you know, spark them up, let's get going. And Goliath just stood out there and he just shut down the army again. I don't know if he tried it for day two or day three, but I'm telling you, by day 40, Saul's given up. Like, he is just terrified. They don't know, this is terrible. And I just find that such a sad thought, right, that one giant was able to shut down the entire army of God for 40 days. What a sad thought. Like, these people had seen the power of God. They had the call of God on their life. They had the anointing of God. They had the God of the universe with them, and yet one giant was able to just shut them down. Until one day, David comes along. But you know, this isn't big, strong King David that we read about later. This isn't the mighty warrior David that we sort of know that gets developed. This is only a young David, possibly, they say, maybe only a teenager. Very young boy, a very young kid, you know, just a teenager. And the same thing's going on. And the army standing there in their battle positions. Goliath is out there mocking and taunting them. And they're just too fearful. No one wants to fight him. And so little David hears what's going on. Now, David, you know, that day, he didn't come to fight. David didn't actually plan to go into battle that day. David was just being obedient to his father. The Bible says that he was just sent by his father to be a delivery boy, to give grain, you know, bread, cheese to his older brothers and the rest and some of the others. And they were meant to be the ones doing the fighting. But when David gets there, he hears Goliath taunting and mocking God and Israel. And he's like, man, what is going on? Who is this guy saying that, you know, their God's better than our God? What is this, you know, idiot Philistine doing? How dare he do this? How dare he say this stuff? And you know, he starts to talk to the soldiers and they're like, yeah, this is, I know it's terrible, but this is Goliath. I mean, look at him. He's 9.5 feet tall. He is a man mountain. Henry had binoculars and he could see. He's got six fingers on each hand. Like, he's a scary guy. And little David's like, well, I don't care. I'm going to fight this guy. I don't care how big and tough he looks. I can take him on. I'll fight him. I'll beat him down. And it's like this conviction from God welling up in David saying, there is an evil thing taking place and I'm going to be the one to do something about it. But you know, just as David starts to rise up in faith, we hear about David's oldest brother, Eliab. He comes in and he tries to shut David down. You see, Eliab, he can't see David for how God sees him. When Eliab, his older brother, sees David, he just sees, you know, his little younger brother being a bit of a brat. When God looks at David, he sees the mighty warrior. He sees the king inside of David. And Eliab can't see that. And so in verse 28, Eliab, David's older brother, he heard him speaking with a man, and it says that he burned with anger at him. And he said, you know, why have you come down here? You know, who'd you leave the sheep with? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You know, he just tries to shut King David down. And I just think to myself, imagine if David listened to his oldest brother, Eliab. Imagine if you know, as faith rose up in him, he starts to hear Eliab's words and he's just like, you're right, I can't, who am I? Maybe I am wicked, you know, I can't do anything about this. And that's where the story would have ended. And I just wonder, you know, how many potential Davids have there been throughout history, throughout the time, that God put a conviction on their heart, God told them to do something, to step out in faith, but someone like an Eliab stepped in and shut them down and they listened to Eliab. I wonder how many type of David and Goliath stories we could have had. I'm so glad that David didn't listen to his oldest brother and instead he chose to listen to the voice of God urging him on. David wasn't being stupid, he was being serious. Because you see, the thing is, David knew God. We read the Bible that David had spent a relationship, you know, out in the fields. While David was still in obscurity, just as a little shepherd boy, he had developed a relationship with God, where he'd be out taking care of the sheep and he'd learnt to sing praises to God, to sing psalms to God, to meditate on scriptures, on the law. And he would pray and he would speak to God. And he'd develop this relationship and he'd be developed this lifestyle of hearing God's voice. And then not only that, David actually witnessed the power of God on his life. And the Bible says that David started to tell people about his witnessing the anointing and the power of God on his life. Where one time David said, the power of God, this bear came and took one of my sheep away, and I just came in and just with my shepherd's crook and, you know, my hands, I just tore that bear apart. You know, that's not just a natural thing, that's supernatural. I don't know if anyone's seen a movie called The Revenant. I'm not necessarily recommending it, it's a pretty violent movie. But there's this one scene with Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's brutal. Like, it shows this bear just attacking Leonardo, and it's just ripping him apart. And when I saw that scene, I just thought, you know, little David as a teenager was ripping apart a bear. Like, that was the power of God on his life. And he said, he was not taking the credit for it. He's saying, that's God's power through me. I've witnessed that. And he said, I've done it with the bear. I've done it with the lion. And so David starts telling the troops about these sorts of things that God has done through him. And faith starts to rally through the troops. And word gets over to King Saul that there's this little guy named David who's willing to fight Goliath. And so King Saul summons him over. And, you know, he hears the stories about David ripping apart the bear and the lion. And he's like, well, you know, actually, that's a pretty good resume. We're gonna give you a chance, David. No one else is going to fight him. So you're it. You're going to go for it. And he says, but first, let me put my armor on you. And so that's what they try to do. Saul tries to put his armor on him. But, you know, it doesn't fit. David, he's too small. And it doesn't work like that. And so David says, you know, he's like, Saul, I'm going to fight Goliath, but I can't do it your way. I know how God uses me. I know my gifts. I've seen the power of God at work in my life. I know my gifts and my calling. And I can't do it through the normal method that you think, that I need to put on this armor and take up the sword. I'm going to do it in a different way. And so that's what he does. And you know the story. David goes out there, faces this man, mountain, 12-fingered Goliath, and just with a slingshot and 5 stones. In fact, he takes 5 stones, but he only uses one. And I just think, you know, before Goliath, he saw this little puny kid coming before him. And before Goliath and the Philistines even knew what was happening, David was, you know, throwing this stone, and it hit Goliath square in the head. Goliath comes crashing down. champion of the Philistines comes crashing to the ground, and before they know what's going on, David's taken a sword, he's chopped off Goliath's head, and he's showing the Philistines the power of God and what God can do through even this young teenager boy. I mean, what a story. That's why it's such a famous story. It's why even, you know, secular people talk about the David and Goliath battle. But the question we want to ask is, even though we've heard this story a lot before, what is it that God wants to remind us about and teach us from this that we want to hear about tonight? There's probably 100 different things that I could highlight and we could unpack in this story, but I just felt God give me a few key points that he wanted me to share. The first thing that I really felt God say is that there's people in this room tonight that this year it's like a fight is going to come looking for you. That there's going to be some sort of battle, some sort of situation or fight that you don't really want to get involved with, but it's going to come looking for you. You know, just like David, he didn't want to go up that day planning on a fight. That's not what he was intentionally doing. He just went there as a delivery boy. But when he got there and when he saw the evil that was allowed to happen, the evil that was allowed to prosper, he couldn't just do nothing about it. He saw a problem and his conviction rose up in him and he had to say yes. He couldn't just do nothing. And I just sense that there's people in this room that this year you're going to find yourself in similar situations. That maybe it's just going to be a sort of a one-off thing for some of you. It might just be this one-off thing where I don't know what it could look like. You know, maybe in your workplace there's someone that's being picked on or being bullied or taunted or whatever it is. And you're not just going to keep letting that happen. You're going to stand up and say something. Or you're going to come along that aside that person and be there for them, give them encouragement, help them. You're not just going to do nothing. For some of you, I actually felt that it's sort of like, you know, you've been praying about leading and direction in your life, and I felt like God say for some, he's going to reveal, it's almost like this bigger picture calling to you, that, you know, that God's going to put this conviction in you, that when you look at the state of things in the world, you know, it's like you're going to see something that's wrong, and it's like God's going to give you this mission that it's almost like you're willing to give your life to, you know, where you're going to see sickness, and God's going to say, you're going to be a vessel of healing in that situation. Where you look out and you see that there's injustice taking place, and God's going to convict you to want to bring about justice into that situation. I think of people like, you know, William Wilberforce. You know, William Wilberforce, he was actually elected to the Parliament when he was only 21. And it was about 5 years after that he really came to know Jesus. And it was around that time that he actually was, he didn't want to stay in politics. He wanted to get out. He wanted to actually go into full-time ministry. But it was in that time that he started to hear, you know, through John Newton and others, the evil that was allowed to take place through the whole slave industry, through the British Empire. And even though William Wilberforce didn't really want to take on that fight, he felt this conviction from God rising in him that he couldn't just walk away from the fight. He couldn't just walk away from the battle. He was in a position that he could do something about it. And so he said yes to God. And he gave his life to seeing slavery abolished. And, you know, by the end of his life, he did. He saw slavery abolished throughout the British Empire. I wonder, what is that battle? What is that fight that God is highlighting to you? That God's stirring something inside you that you're like, yes, I can contribute. I can help do something about that. And when you get into the battle, I want you to ask yourself, whose armor are you going to wear in this battle? What weapons are you going to use? You know, for David, he didn't just try and fit into Saul's armor. You know, we don't want to just fight in a way that seems like the conventional method. And we don't want to compare ourselves to others and how they use their giftings and how they walk into their calling. We need to pray and ask God, what's my unique gifting? What's my unique calling? And how do you want me to fight the battle, God? I encourage you to ask that question. What is the unique armor and the gifting that matches the calling that God's given you? Don't compare yourself to how others try and do the fight. Another word I felt from the Lord was that, you know, there's people here that are being hindered or will be hindered by what I'd call, you know, that oldest brother obstacle, the Eliab trap. You know, for David, his oldest brother Eliab, he, as soon as that conviction, that call sort of rose up in David, Eliab was there to shut him down. And I wonder if there's people in your life that have been shutting you down. That, you know, maybe there's something you want to step out and do, but because of, you know, your past mistakes, they remind you about that, and it's like, oh, well, I can't do it. Or this is what happens, you know, time and time again, when we get this word from God and we feel faith rising up, Satan loves to send a messenger to discourage you. He does it all the time. And I encourage you, as you start to step out in faith, as you start to step into the things that you feel God's calling to, watch out for the Eliab that'll come in to discourage you. Certainly take on wise counsel, but he wasn't just giving him wisdom. He was just trying to attack him, attack his character and try and condemn him. Look out for those people. Don't listen to them. Listen to what God's doing in your life and what he's saying to you. And the final point that I just want to leave us all with, as I read this story, I felt verse 11 just highlight, God just really highlight to me. It says in verse 11 that it was on hearing the taunts and the mocks from Goliath, that the Israelites, King Saul, they were shut down. They were dismayed. They were terrified. It was on hearing the enemy that fear came into their hearts. But you see, David came on the scene and he heard the exact same things that Goliath was saying, but why was it that fear didn't enter into David, but instead faith rose up? I really believe God was telling me that the reason was David had developed a lifestyle of hearing from God. And because of that lifestyle of hearing from God, when the enemy started to speak and try and, you know, get you to respond in fear, David knew what it was to hear God's voice louder than the enemy's voice. And I want you to ask that question, what does it mean for you to develop a lifestyle of hearing from God? Because, you know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. What if for you, you got into a habit that instead of, you know, the first thing in the morning you wake up and, you know, you check your social media platforms or you know, you check your bank account balance or whatever it is, what if the first thing you get up and you hear from God? You spend time in prayer, you spend time reading the Psalms, you know, as we're looking through David's life. You know, you get into the Psalms, you get into the Word of God, and you just practice and you start to develop a lifestyle that means that you can hear from God. Because, you know, it was in the times of obscurity that David needed to learn what it was to hear from God so that he was prepared for when the battle and the fight came. And that's what you and I need to do as well. Because if we wait till the fight is on us, it'll be too late. It's too easy to then just walk and respond in fear instead of faith. What does that mean for us? Because the other thing is we want to develop, each one of us, we want to develop a lifestyle of faith that lasts us for our whole life. It's easy to have faith that lasts you for a minute. Or, you know, that you get hyped up and you get faith for something that lasts you for a night or a week or even a year or even a couple of years. But the only way to develop a faith that means you can go through the tough times, the difficult times, the good times, a faith that lasts you throughout your life is to walk in that place of constantly hearing God's voice. Because as the Bible says, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And so let me just summarize. I really do believe that this year there's going to be people that God's going to, that these, they, it's like this fight's going to come upon you. That there's going to be some sort of battle rising up, some sort of conviction that you can step into. And as you go to step into that fight, as you go to step into that calling that God's got for you, ask yourself, you know, whose armor am I going to wear? How is my unique gifting and calling going to be expressed in this situation? Watch out for the Eliab that comes in to discourage you and snap away the word of God that's been spoken to you. And instead, let me encourage you to walk and learn what it is to live a lifestyle of hearing from God and hearing from his word. Because that is how we walk in faith, and a faith that lasts us throughout our entire lives, not just for a small season. Let's pray. Heavenly God, I just thank you so much for the fact that you are a good God, for the fact that you've given us your word. And I thank you, Father, for great and mighty men and women of the past that have gone before us that we can learn from, that you, through their lives, teach us and speak to us. And Father, we just thank you that your heart is to see your kingdom released in greater measures throughout this earth. And you do it through your people. It's how you've always operated, and it's how you continue to operate. And so, Lord, we just ask that you continue to empower us as we step out and as we walk in faith for the things that you lead us into. But we just pray it all for Jesus Christ's glory and for his sake. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.